In 1622, on one of Murat's Paris trips, he ran out of supplies. He decided to get more supplies at the Vieux-Port in the Dutch Republic. This was a risky move by Murat. He was a Dutch renegade after all. He could risk arrest, and even death. But Murat wasn't Jan Joensen, the Dutch pirate anymore. He was now Murat Reis, the governor of the Republic of Salé, which at least in appearance, still falls under the Moroccan Sultan's authority. The Dutch authorities could not refuse him, because as the governor of Salé, he was considered a subject of the Moroccan Sultan himself. And at that time, the Dutch had signed many treaties with Morocco, and treaties had to be respected. So Murat was allowed in, but the Dutch authorities still had a few tricks up their sleeves, and they were determined to convince him to leave his piracy ways and to stay in the Netherlands. If they couldn't do it by force, they resorted to more sentimental means. They ended up bringing his Dutch wife and children on board to try and influence him to stay. Yes, Jan had already a Dutch wife and 2 kids in the Netherlands. He left them behind a long time ago when he became a pirate. Unfortunately for the Dutch authorities, the trick didn't work. Murat had a new life now. And not only the trick didn't convince him to stay, but he ended up convincing many new young Dutchmen to join him. No! Which was not really hard to do. It's important to note that at this time, the Dutch Republic was tired of half a century of war with Spain. The economic situation was suffering in many regions, including Veer. So a scenario when these young Dutchmen can roam the seas, attack Spanish ships and make easy money on the way was an easy sell. Murat left the Dutch port with more Dutch recruits than he came with. This wasn't the last time Murat had to stop at a Dutch port. 4 years after that, Murat came back, but this time under much less pleasant circumstances. In 1626, while sailing the seas, Murat spotted a Dutch ship. It was a beautiful big ship, and Murat could not resist. He wanted the ship. True to his pirate nature, Murat decided to attack the Dutch ship, even though it violated the treaties with the Dutch Republic. The same treaties that protected him a few years back. The same treaty that helped him seek supplies and help during his last visit. But unfortunately for Murat, the joke was on him this time, because the Dutch ship was fake. It was actually a Spanish warship, falsely raising the Dutch flag to trick pirates. And Murat was tricked. By the time he realized his mistake, it was too late. Murat's ship was too close. The Spanish soldiers raided Murat's ships. No mercy was given. Many died or were captured. The very few who could flee with Murat managed to take harbor in a Dutch port. This time, it was Amsterdam port. But his hardship was not over. Murat barely fled with his life from his Spanish attackers. But when he arrived at the Dutch port to ask for medical assistance, he wasn't allowed any help. No supplies were allowed to be given. No injured were helped. Murat could not even bury his dead. The Dutch authorities punished him for attempting to violate the treaty. They knew he planned to attack the ship even when he thought it was a Dutch ship. As far as they're concerned, Murat got what he deserved. By the way, this was not the first time Murat was tricked. The legend has it that few years back, in 1620, Jan spotted a ship in the sea and planned to attack it. But before he got too close, the ship raised the Spanish flag and went after Jan's ship. Scared, Jan fled the scene, thinking it was a Spanish warship. In reality this time, the ship was actually a defenseless merchant ship full of supplies and cargo on board, the ideal and easiest target for pirates like Jan. What actually happened is that the captain of this ship, who didn't know what to do when he spotted Jan's pirate ship, used a Spanish flag to scare Jan away. And the trick worked. The devastating Spanish attack on Murat's ship in 1626 was not the only bad experience Murat had. At this point, Murat had several bad years in the sea and was fed up. It was maybe for that reason that he decided to venture out of the usual target zone of the Barbary pirates.
In 1627, Murad wanted to go where no Barbary pirate went before him. His next stop was the shore of Iceland. Iceland was way further than his traditional route, so Murad hired a former Dutch pilot to help him. This pilot was actually a European slave who was captured previously. European slaves were common at that time. When pirates attacked, they did not only steal things, but they took people as well. It is said that between the mid-16th century and the 18th century, more than 1 million Europeans were taken as slaves. There were four kinds of value for the European slaves. First, workers. This category mainly targeted strong men and domestic help. Second, companionship. Women were the main target for this category. Many of them were taken as concubines. Third, religion. This category mainly targeted young boys. The boys were usually taken to be raised in the Islamic faith. And the final reason was revenue. Slaves from this category were the lucky ones. They were the only ones who had maybe a chance to be freed one day. Slaves with a skill can be put in this category, like the pilot hired by Murad, for example. These slaves could eventually free themselves after earning enough money from their skill or craft to pay back their masters. This process, if it ever happened, could take years.